Luke 2, starting at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
It is amazing to be with you guys tonight at 6 p.m. What a service. Look, I wonder if you've ever experienced a true cliffhanger. The sort of cliffhanger that leaves you feeling absolute suspense and on the edge of your seat, desperate to see what happens next. Maybe it's in a movie like Twilight, Breaking Dawn Part 1, where Bella opens her eyes as a vampire for the very first time and everyone is desperate to see what happens in Breaking Dawn Part 2. Or it could be in Avengers Infinity War, where Thanos clicks his fingers and the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe appears to be in tatters. Have you ever been left on a complete cliffhanger, desperate to see what happens next? Well, I remember a time when I was in high school and I was left on an absolute cliffhanger with no idea what was going to happen. My family owns a boat, and during summer, we take the boat out most weekends. That's it right there. And on this particular day, something about the boat looked a little bit off to me. But it didn't quite bother me enough to say anything to Dad. And so we jumped in the car with my dad and my sister and one of my good friends and me in the back seat, and we drove off. But then, right as we reached the bottom of the road, actually, let's come back to this story a little bit later. But I wonder if you've ever been left on an absolute cliffhanger, a time where you felt suspense and you were desperate to see what happens next. Well, tonight as we open God's word, we see that the Israelites have been left on a cliffhanger. And as we get into our passage tonight, we're going to see what this cliffhanger is through three key points. So let's start our sermon tonight with our first point. The story we're all involved in. Our passage tonight starts with these words. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. Now, straight away here, we're presented with a picture of Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, taking Jesus to a traditional Jewish festival. But why is this such a big deal? I mean, why does Luke choose to include it here in our passage? Well, Amy Peeler describes the festival of the Passover as a multiple-day journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem that occurred on an annual basis to celebrate the Passover. And to understand what the Passover actually is, we need to turn earlier in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, in which we read these words. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." So here in Exodus 12, we see God make a promise to his people. A promise that if they listen to him and are obedient to him, he will rescue them and save them from the impending destruction that awaits Egypt. And later in Exodus, we see this promise come to fruition. The Israelites smear their doors with the blood of a lamb, and the angel literally passes over their house, sparing them from the plague that is brought upon Egypt. And immediately after this plague is brought down upon Egypt, we see Pharaoh let the Israelites go, and God rescues them from their physical bondage and enslavement. Every year after this miraculous Passover, the Israelites celebrated the festival of the Passover in remembrance of what God had done for them. The festival that Mary and Joseph were attending was this same festival thousands of years later. But why is this festival significant? I mean, it happened thousands of years ago, right? Why does it even matter? Who really cares? Well, here's the thing. This festival was held in remembrance of when God rescued his people from the bondage of Egypt. However, it was also an even greater reminder of the need of rescuing that Israel actually had. Because throughout the Old Testament, we see time after time that Israel failed to live up to God's perfect standards that he has for them. From Adam in Eden to Samson in Judges, from David's failures to the Israelites' exile in the book of Daniel, we constantly see that the Israelites are incapable of living God-honoring lives. The Israelites simply cannot live in a way that honors God fully and builds their relationship with him. Their actions break relationship with God, and there's nothing that they can do to fix it. And the horrible thing is that we live the exact same way today. So often we live in ways that don't honor God and that break our relationship with him. We constantly fail to live up to God's perfect standards. And to make things even worse, all it takes to completely ruin our relationship with God for eternity is one small sin. You see, every time you tell that little white lie to avoid getting into trouble at work or in school, you cause complete separation between you and God. Every time you have one too many drinks at that party, you cause complete separation between you and God. Every time you gossip about that friend, you cause complete separation between you and God. Every single one of us has completely broken our relationship with God. But maybe you're starting to switch off at this point, thinking, well, that's all well and good, but why does it actually matter? I mean, I love my life right now, and I don't really want God to be a part of it. And do you know what? Maybe that's somewhat true. Maybe you do love your life right now, and maybe everything seems to be going exactly how you want it to go. But the reality is that this never, ever lasts. Because the world promises so much, but it always fails to deliver. That happiness and positivity you're feeling right now isn't going to last. It's fleeting. And all it takes for everything to change is for one bad thing to happen. And as we look at our world today, we see the truth of this as well. Selena Gomez is one of the world's most famous singers. She has wealth and popularity and opportunities knocking on her door all the time. But yet Selena has come out publicly and said these words, "I had everything, but I was absolutely broken inside. You see, as soon as we rely on the world for our source of happiness and satisfaction, there's always something missing. And I'm sure you can feel this as well. Separation from God leaves you feeling like something isn't quite right. There's something greater. There's something more that the world simply cannot offer us. And not only does separation from God leave us chasing after the empty happiness of the world right now, it also means death and eternal destruction in the end. Being separated from God means that you're separate from the true joy that He offers each and every single one of us. And you're also heading towards an eternity apart from the love and peace that He alone provides forever. And maybe you're coming to church every so often, and maybe you pray every once in a while, but the reality is that every single one of us still sins, and there's nothing that we can do to fix this situation that we face. This is the story we're all involved in. Every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standards, and this results in us being separated from Him forever. The festival of the Passover in our passage reminds us that we are broken, and there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves whole again. Our relationship with God has been tarnished by our sin, and no amount of hard work or effort can fix the damage we've already caused. And this leads me to my second point for tonight, the cliffhanger that leaves everyone on the edge of their seats. Now let's return to my story from the start of the sermon. We're driving in the car, and there was something a little bit off about the boat right before I got in, but I decided not to say anything. And so we all jump in and Dad drives off, and we reach the end of the road, and all of a sudden I hear this almighty smash and my head jerks back to see what has made the noise. And all of a sudden I see our boat flying off its trailer, coming through the back of our car towards me and my family. I'm on an absolute cliffhanger. I have no idea what's going to happen towards me, and my eyes are locked on my boat as it hurtles towards me. And we'll finish this story a little bit later on. Well, similar to me and my family, the Jews are also left on a complete cliffhanger. We've just heard about how they've been physically rescued from the Egyptians, but they're still stuck in their sinful ways, separating them from God. Israel has a greater need of rescuing than simply the physical rescuing God gave them from the Egyptians. The Israelites needed to be rescued spiritually from their sinfulness, which completely separates them from God. And we too are in the same predicament. Even though life may be going really well, and you may not need physical rescuing from anything specific right now, we are all in need of spiritual rescuing. And we need this because each and every single one of us sins, and our sin has separated us from God for eternity. Returning to our passage, we read these words. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When He was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while His parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking He was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for Him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find Him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for Him. After 3 days, they found Him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Jesus is 12 years old, so He's 1 year away from His bar mitzvah, which is when He comes of age and is able to publicly participate in the worship of God. And so because of this, Jesus travels with His parents to the festival of the Passover, and He spends the festival studying the God of the Scriptures, hearing the teachers at the temple talk about God's promises in the Bible. And God's greatest promise is found closely intertwined with the festival of the Passover. You see, where the festival of the Passover was a time of remembrance for when God had delivered His people from the hands of the Egyptians, it also acted as a strong reminder of humanity's even greater need of rescuing, spiritually from sin. But even though our sin, like the Israelites, separates us from God, and there's nothing that we can do to fix this relationship ourselves, there is something God can do. And God isn't content to leave us in our sinful brokenness.
God doesn't want to leave us where we are, separated from him for eternity. So he makes his people a mighty promise in the form of a future Messiah who will come to save all the people from their sin. We read this in the book of Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And here is the cliffhanger that God gives the Israelites and leaves us with tonight. Every single one of us is trapped in our sinful rebellion, living lives that separate us from God eternally. And there's nothing that we can do to fix the situation or recover our relationship with God. But God is going to send someone, a mighty Savior who will conquer all of humanity's sin and rebellion and provide a way for us to experience relationship with the Father again. God promises humanity an even greater salvation, a mighty Savior and Rescuer who can save all of us from our sinful rebellion and separation from the Father. As much as the festival of the Passover was a time of reflection, it was also a time of eager anticipation for when God will send his Messiah. But maybe some of you are sitting there at this point, wondering what this actually means. Maybe you're thinking, well, this idea of sin and separation from God and our need for a Savior, it all sounds nice, but what does it actually mean for me? How does all this actually impact my personal life? Here's how. You see, every single one of us is currently living with a deep and incurable spiritual cancer called sin. Our sin worms its way through our body and impacts every fiber of our being. And if something doesn't happen, we'll eventually face a severe and eternal time of pain and death. But God has the one cure our spiritual cancer needs. And it comes in the form of his promised Messiah. If we choose to ignore God's offer of rescuing and redemption through his promised Messiah, we will have to eventually face the reality of the spiritual cancer that we've been diagnosed with. But if we accept God's offer of forgiveness that he offers us through his Messiah, our spiritual cancer will be cured and we can spend eternity with him. Just like me in my story, the Israelites have been left on an absolute cliffhanger that impacts every single one of us too. Similar to the story we see in Avengers, our situation looks completely dire, and it appears as though there's nothing that we can do to fix it. We're all diagnosed with an incurable spiritual cancer called sin, and if something isn't done about it, we're all heading towards an eternity separated from God and everything that he offers us. But God has a solution in his Messiah. And the Israelites are eagerly awaiting the day where God will reveal who his Messiah is. This is the cliffhanger we've all been left on. God has promised to send us a Messiah to save us all from our sinful brokenness. But who is this Messiah? And when will they come? And will the Messiah even save us? I mean, will God even deliver on the promise that he makes? Well, this leads me to my third point for tonight, the resolution that we've all been waiting for. So far, we've seen the story we're involved in, that every single one of us are stuck in our sin and rebellion, which separates us from God for eternity. However, we've also seen the cliffhanger that leaves each one of us on the edge of our seats. God has an immense and mighty rescue plan in the form of a promised Messiah who will come and conquer our sinful rebellion and free us from the punishment that we're facing. And we now know that God has promised to send someone to rescue us, but we don't know who this rescuer is or when this rescuer is going to come. Before we get there, let's return to my story from the start of the night. I'm driving along and my eyes are locked on the boat as it flies through the back of our car towards me and my family. I have no idea what's going to happen. And as it approaches me, all of a sudden, it comes to a complete stop, less than a meter away from my face. Now, immediately, I'm overwhelmed with a wave of relief. But then I'm left feeling baffled. I mean, how did the boat not smash through our entire car, injuring or even killing me or one of my family? As we get out of the car, we soon realize what has saved us. There's a single chain that you can attach from the boat to the trailer that stops it from going through any further in the case of an emergency. And this chain had held the entire weight of the boat as it had smashed through the back of the car, stopping it from getting any further through and injuring or hurting any of us. You see, this chain had been the resolution to my cliffhanger. When it appeared catastrophic and like there was nothing that I could do, this chain had stopped our boat from slamming through our whole car into me and my family. And the cliffhanger that the Israelites are given tonight is also given a resounding resolution in our passage. We read this in Luke chapter 2. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Now, when I first read this, I immediately pictured this Jesus kid as just a typical teenager. I mean, when your parents tell you to do something, as a teenager, your immediate reaction is to ignore everything they tell you to do and then react really become really sassy when they get you in trouble afterwards. But I think there's something more here. In fact, I think these words provide the resolution for the cliffhanger that we've all been waiting to receive an answer for. The Messiah who would come to free us from our spiritual cancer is confirmed to be Jesus. And we can know this because in his young age, Jesus has a wisdom that transcends the teachers of religion. And he has this because of his unique and intimate relationship with the Father. Jesus' wisdom transcends religion because his wisdom comes from being in a connected relationship with God, a relationship we can never understand, because he is the fulfillment of God's promise of a Messiah. Jesus is the resolution we've all been waiting for, and he confirms this by emphasizing that his true Father is his heavenly one. Jesus' words that he has to be in his Father's house emphasize that his mission on earth, even in his young age, is not obedience to his earthly father, but rather it's obedience to his heavenly Father. And obedience to his heavenly Father means that he is focused on the mission that his heavenly Father has as well. And the mission that God the Father is focused on is rescuing those who are entrapped in their sin. And Jesus confirms this truth further and with absolute finality with two lines later on in Luke. Firstly, in Luke 4, Jesus says, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And later in Luke 19, he says, "For the Son of Man," which is Jesus, "came to seek and save the lost." You see, Jesus' mission on earth is to save humanity. To save you and me from our sinful rebellion, which separates us from God. This story, as Daryl Bock writes, provides a preview of Jesus as Messiah, servant, son. The time of fulfillment comes. As Bock hints at, God's promise of a Messiah to save us from our sinful rebellion is fulfilled through Jesus. And, spoiler alert, this is confirmed a little later on in the story that Luke writes. Our passage tonight discusses the festival of the Passover, as we've already seen. And what spared God's people in the Passover was the blood of a sacrificial lamb that they smeared across their doorposts to mark themselves as one of God's people. Well, this Messiah, Jesus, who is the fulfillment of every promise that God has ever made, offers a final resolution to our sinfulness through the spilling of his own blood. You see, Jesus chooses to die upon a cross, taking our sin upon himself and carrying the burden of our punishment by carrying a wooden cross. And with his arms outstretched and his blood spilling, he offers you a way to escape the cliffhanger that you face. He offers you the cure to your spiritual cancer. And all it takes to be freed from the sinful burden that you're carrying right now is to accept this Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as your Savior tonight. As the single chain in my story took the weight of the punishment I deserved in my carelessness, so Jesus takes the weight of the punishment that we all deserve by taking our place upon a cross and suffering the separation from God that our sin deserves. And so how will you respond to this Jesus? We know that we're all separated from God by our own sinful and rebellious actions. And we also know that there's nothing that we can do to fix our situation before God. But God has revealed a solution, someone to carry our burdens upon himself, taking on the punishment that we deserve so that we can enter into a connected relationship with the Father. And are you willing to respond to this Jesus tonight? Is tonight the night where you stop chasing after the empty happiness of the world and start chasing after the ever-fulfilling joy of the Savior? Is tonight the night where you accept the gift of freedom, forgiveness, and love that God offers us through his only Son and enter into a true state of joy that can never disappear or fade? Are you content ignoring the spiritual cancer that we all have, risking being separated from God for eternity? Do you know the God of heaven and earth as your Father, just like Jesus did? We're about to sing a song called Who You Say I Am, which gives us the opportunity to think about where we stand with God. And if you have chosen to be in relationship with him, you have the right to be a child of God. And that is who God says you are. You are his child, someone that he loves and cherishes and cares for, someone that he was willing to die for on a cross so that he could have relationship with you. And for those of you that have already made the decision to follow Christ, what is hindering you from trusting Jesus fully? Jesus has an intimately personal connection and relationship with God the Father. And he is God himself. He has proven this through his manifold wisdom, and his own words testify to this truth. If you are willing to take a step of faith and put your trust fully in him in each and every season, he will be with you through his Spirit, giving you the words to say as you have conversations with your friends and as you go out into the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love that you ceaselessly show us. We thank you for your eagerness to be in relationship with us to the point of sending Jesus to take our place upon a cross. We pray that you would help each one of us to accept this beautiful offer of relationship with you and live lives wholeheartedly devoted to you in response. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.